I know our brother David's prepared a message that the Lord's placed upon his heart, and I ask that you would give him your kind and prayerful attention to our brother and Elder David.
Thank you, Brother Bob. As we are nearing the close of Valentine's Day, I wanted to speak about a couple of things. Those two things being mostly, I might include some others here, but the way that the Lord gives us blessings and how we live in His grace. And I'm going to start out in Psalms, 36th Psalm. I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. I could go and preach a whole sermon on that. We're to be thankful for life itself, for the things that God has given us. And He gives us excellent things, especially it seems like the ones that live in this promised land. We have no need to wonder where our next meal is going to come from or what kind of shelter we're going to have over our heads. Unless we choose to live that way. But when we put God first, He provides all that stuff for us. And that's His blessing upon us. Uncle Johnny mentioned St. Valentine's in the 3rd century, that there's a lot of legends and stuff about Valentine's, and a lot of it goes clear back way B.C. and talks about violence and ugly things that happened, and I don't dwell on that at all. But I kind of like the one about St. Valentine's in the 3rd century, because he, it is said, ministered unto Christians during the reign of the Roman Empire. And that he gave his life to. And he was put to death for it, but that's why they celebrate the loving kindness on Valentine's Day, supposedly. But I really don't need an excuse. Every day could be Christmas, or every day could be Valentine's, or the 4th of July. I don't care. I celebrate every day that I wake up breathing. It gets to that point sometimes where you're just grateful for another day, for another chance in life. And when you're young, you don't realize that, but when you have a tough day and you're getting up there and the years past midlife, and it starts to dawn on you that you might not have that many more days, so enjoy the one you have. And I certainly do. Of course, I have ups and downs, but and I have learned to count my blessings as I go into the day and through the day and at the end of the day, to still count my blessings. I want to go over to 139th Psalm and read there what David had recorded for us. 139th Psalm, verse 17 and 18. He says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. After a bad day, when you wake up in the morning, sometimes you say, well, you have a whole different attitude. And you say, the sun came up. Things aren't as bad as I thought they were. And I've had times when I've talked to the Lord and I said, you know what's going on and you know how weak I am. Help me out. And when you put your total trust in Him, He does. He comes right through with better thoughts, with promises of things to come in life that will be well with you if you just keep your trust with Him. And that's kind of what my next few scriptures are about, is how we go about every day in life, knowing that God is the one in charge, putting our trust in Him, and never having to be afraid. I want to go to Matthew 7. One comment that I could make there is, have you ever woke up and you just felt empty? You just felt like Job, all his vanity. Why am I struggling to stay alive? What's the use? There are days like that. My dad told me there were going to be days like that, and he said there's going to be days that are worse. And he was right, of course. But when you take that from a World War II vet, you take him at his word. Then throughout life experiences, you find out he's true. He was right. He knew what he was talking about. But over here in Matthew chapter 7, I want to read verses 8 through 11. These are the words of Christ. And he was speaking to the multitudes and telling them how they should live their life and that they shouldn't be quick to judge others and things like this. But verses 8 through 11, I want to read here. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what is there of you? Or what man is there of you? And if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Now you could read that to some people and they say, he's calling me evil. Why should I even listen to him? Well, which one of us is perfect? I don't know any perfect men. There's always some weakness that we have or some past that we'd like to forget, something we need to be forgiven for. And God says even you would provide for your children. If they ask you something, you would try to get it to them if it's something they need. He says, I'll do the same. I'll take care of you. But he says, how much more would I give to him that asks? And he says, all you have to do is ask. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is put your trust in me, and I'll take care of it. And we see this time after time as we go through life. When we put our trust in the Lord, that He does take care of it. The 12th verse here is something that is often quoted or misquoted, but still the meaning is the same. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Well, by this we get the quote, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And this is the closest verse that I've ever found in the Bible that says that. That you should treat others as you would like to be treated. And we don't often want to treat ourselves very bad. We kind of like that golden rule that even if we're angry at someone, we treat them right. Because we know that we're going to make somebody else angry, and hopefully they'll treat us right. And this is the way to accomplish it. That we depend on that kindness that the Lord has for us. I want to go over to Luke, the 6th chapter. Here again, it's the words of Christ. I'm going to read verse 35, 6th chapter of Luke. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. I was reading the other day where it talked about God has created evil. And he could be kind to those that are evil as he tries to guide them. And it's just like we have to be kind to our enemies. But he told us if you're kind to them, if you're treating them right, trying to do everything you can for them, and they're refusing, you're just dumping heaps of coal on their heads. You know, they're just refusing to accept that kindness. And it's not good for them to do that. So when we work towards something, and we work and we work and we work, and it just doesn't go right, doesn't go right, doesn't go right. So finally you ask for some help. And somebody comes along and helps you. You get it all together. Do you thank them? Do you say, I would like to return your kindness someday? Or do you say, oh, it's about time. I've been around many people. That's their attitude. It's about time. You know, they're angry at you because you might have got something accomplished that they couldn't. Or they're angry at God because he didn't answer their call right away and said, here, let me do this for you, without putting your efforts in first. It's about time. I've heard that many, many times in my life. Well, it's about time. That's not being thankful. That's not extending kindness. And that's not offering a reward of kindness to somebody that's helping you. And that includes our Lord. We need to be thankful for those things that he extends to us, for those blessings that he gives to us. I was working on this sermon this morning, and Kathy came out to the kitchen, and she started fixing some stuff for breakfast, and she said, you want a piece of toast? And I said, sure. She said, I'm going to make bacon. You want some bacon? I said, sure, I'll have a couple pieces of bacon. She says, what do you want on your toast? And I said, oh, nothing. A little mayonnaise, some bacon, tomatoes. And I just started naming off things to put on it. She said, well, we don't have tomatoes. You know, when the Lord asks you to do something, he'll provide the tomatoes. But he expects you to put out the effort to get it done. And when we say, well, I'll do this much, and then that's as far as I'm going. I'm not going to extend myself and go out of the way and try to do something that would really be a hardship on me to do that. I won't do that, but I'll give you a piece of bread and some eggs. That's what you want. It's not what the Lord asked for. If he asked for a BLT, then he wants a BLT. He doesn't want you to change it. He doesn't want you to say, I'm not going to give you what you asked for, but I'll give you this much. And he's going to say, well, you can take this much and go feed the pigs. That's not what I asked for. Scripture is this way. The Lord has given us instructions through his kindness. He has shown us exactly how to fix the BLT, to fix the things in life, to do what he asks without question, but to put our trust in following after those things that he gives us. There's a thing on Facebook that I kind of liked, and I just kind of quoted it. It says, when something is wrong, just because the majority accepts it, doesn't make it a right. Look at the world today. The world is so wrong. In common, everyday life, it is so wrong. And I could go down through the multitude of things that people are doing today that's acceptable, that are wrong before God. And who's going to tell them it's wrong? Sometimes I do. But sometimes I know it's not going to do any good. And most of the time you get, I know what's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. That hurts. That hurts when someone you love says that to you. And they continue to do that through their life. You see them destroying their conscience, destroying their souls because it's accepted by the world. There was a time when things that are accepted today were not even close to being accepted by society. So how do we return the Lord's kindness? Oh, we just do whatever we want. And that's tough. Because we're not following after what he gave us. And I'm going to turn to, I'm going to switch books on you and turn to Alma, chapter 9. It's on page 451. And I remember my grandfather preaching this one time. In fact, we have it on recording. I marked it in my book when he preached it, and it's still marked, and I live by it every day. Alma chapter 9, page 451, verse 71. Now the decrees of God are unalterable. Therefore, the way is prepared, that whosoever will may walk therein and be saved. That doesn't leave much doubt. It's unalterable the way he gave it to us. And he told us, don't change it. Don't change my scriptures. Don't change my instructions. You have them before you. Read them, understand them, and follow them. I will provide the tomatoes. Verses 72 and 73 say, and now, behold, my son, do not risk one more offense against your God upon those points of doctrine which ye have hitherto risked to commit sin. Do not suppose, because it has been spoken concerning restoration, that ye shall be restored from sin to happiness. You know, if we just say, well, we have a merciful God, he's going to forgive me of this. But here it says, don't expect your sin to be turned into happiness. Don't even go there. Don't change what the Lord has given to us. He's blessed us with these things. He's given us the instructions. He's given us how to follow it, how to live our life and be greatly blessed. And so do we change it? Sure we do. All the time. Things that weren't acceptable before are now acceptable to the majority, but that doesn't make it right. I'm going to switch gears now, and I'm going to talk about the grace of the Lord. And I want to go back to the Bible in John 15, verse 15. Again, these are the words of the Lord. John 15, 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So we see here even a higher authority, one that has given the instructions to our Savior, who gave them to us. And he's telling us, this came from my Father. This isn't from me. This is from my Father. I am the messenger. That takes it to a pretty high authority. And it's only by his grace that we can find our way into his kingdom, even for our lives. As the Book of Mormon would tell you, we owe God for our life. For every day that we get up and we can have the thoughts like David did, as many as the grains of sand that the Lord gives to us, we can count our blessings, which add up every day and add up and add up and add up, as long as we're putting our trust in him and we're following after those commandments that he gave to us. That's living by God's grace. And he'll be with us in that. His yoke will not be harder than what we can stand. He's not going to break us. Yeah, he might make us strong, but without work, you're not going to be strong. You're going to be weak. So we have these thoughts that go through our minds. Have I followed the instructions of the Lord? Even if I didn't think I was capable, did I do my best? Did I put trust in him that I could do what he asked? How many times did he tell the disciples, I'll be with you? Go do this. I'll be with you. It's no different today. He's still telling us, I'll be with you. Do what I instructed to the best of our ability, and I'll take care of the rest. I want to go to 1 John. When it talks about the fear of the Lord, what do you think about? I'm afraid. I'm scared of the Lord. I don't think I'm worthy to be in front of him. I don't want to be in his sight. I fear the Lord. That's not what it's talking about when it says to fear the Lord. Let's read here in 1 John chapter 4. And start with verse 17. Read through the end of that chapter, verse 21. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. That's a tough one right there. Because if we don't love our brother, we are going to be a little afraid. Our brother might be evil. A brother might not agree with us in how we live. But does that mean that we reject him, that we turn him away, that we don't love him? Because God said, I created evil. I've created all things that are. So live according to my grace. That you won't have to fear. That you'll have boldness. That you'll be a good soldier. That you will be a warrior for my cause. And I'll provide whatever you need to do my word. I'm going to turn back to the Book of Mormon for my final scripture. In the Book of Helaman, I want to read a little bit. Helaman chapter 2. This will be on page 551. I'm going to read two verses, 25 and 26. Thus we may see that the Lord is merciful unto all who will, in the sincerity of their hearts, call upon his holy name. Yea, thus we see that the gate of heaven is open unto all, even to those who will believe on the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. Yea, we see that whosoever will lay hold upon the word of God, which is quick and powerful, which shall divide asunder all the cunning and the snares and the wiles of the devil, and lead the man of Christ in a straight and narrow course across that everlasting gulf of misery, which is prepared to engulf the wicked and land their souls, yea, their immortal souls, at the right hand of God in the kingdom of heaven, to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and with all our holy fathers, to go no more out. Life is kind of a river like that, isn't it? You kind of always got to tread to keep your head above water, to keep your sight open, to keep that oxygen flowing so you don't drown. And we put our trust in the grace of God to help us do that, so that we can get across that gulf of life and then spend eternity in happiness, in those things which God has rewarded us with and has promised to continue because we are His children. And He's going to provide things that He is our Father, and He would give what any father would give, and even more. Because He is the one that created life, created the grace that we have, the kindness that we live under. I have a poem hanging in my bedroom that my kids gave me years ago. I don't even remember how many, but they were all pretty young. And there's a few things that they gave to me that I kept. And so I've got it in a frame in my bedroom wall, and it says, "It's a fisherman's prayer." And you might have heard it before. I used to fish a lot. And I know that there's still some of us that like to, although I don't take the time very often to fish like I used to. It says, "I pray that I may live to fish until my dying day, and when it comes to my last cast, I then most humbly pray, when in the Lord's great landing net and peacefully asleep, that in His mercy I be judged big enough to keep." Thank you.